When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runners World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson. And our guest today, Amy Fuller.
Hello.
Welcome to the Runners World podcast. Amy, thanks so much for your time and coming on.
Thanks for having me. This is a lovely little studio setup you've got here. I'm used to being outside for my podcast, so it's quite nice to come indoors, a bit of warmth, cup of tea. Thanks for having me.
We treat people properly, don't we?
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, because we were having a little chat before we started about your podcast.
So I have a podcast called Money Mile. Essentially, we take our guests outside, walking and talking. It's actually an idea that stemmed about during lockdown because I was so sick of my day being navigated by Zoom. Yeah. You know, like Zoom at 1, 3, 4. And I wanted to take the conversation outside. So it's called Monday Mile. It's about mindset, motivation and resilience. And we chat to guests who essentially are excelling in their field. And the main aim is to encourage our listeners on their Monday morning commute to say, get off the tube one stop early, and just get those steps in.
Do you find there's something about talking to people while moving, whether that's walking or running, where you get a sort of superior quality of conversation as a result?
Yeah, I think the sort of walk and talk, it's relaxing. The guests kind of sit into it and it removes the element of the studio, the bright lights. Yeah. So you kind of get a more organic conversation, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it works, definitely. And I think, again, with your moving and talking, you've been the Great North Run, you were the roving reporter whilst racing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of, you get a real insight then of like, it's not just the sort of quick snatch moments on the bridge, you know, a conversation. This is actually running alongside people, having a conversation whilst they're racing.
Yeah, for sure. And as a broadcaster, that was definitely a bucket list moment. It was an idea we pitched 2 years ago. Mm. And to bring that to life and for it to be a success in that people loved it. Because essentially, I'm out there running. It's not about me. It's about the people around me and bringing it to life for the viewer because we were out on the streets running 13.1 miles with everybody else. So I think it also, from an interview perspective, people are open to connect because you're going through the same thing as them. So it's not like you're just standing on the side of the road getting the runner to stop. It's I'm flowing with them. And then you get the hardcore emotion, energy, the sweat, the blood, the tears. And for me to be able to share that with the viewers was really cool.
So let's talk a bit about your running then, because, you know, you started off as an Olympic snowboarder. So amazing CV, amazing sporting CV. Where did running come into the equation for you?
So I think my running passion was first discovered probably when I was about 8 years old. So my mum started doing a bit of running and I joined her and her best friend in Hyde Park at some sort of like Flora 5K. Right. Mm. And I just loved it. I felt like such a big girl. I got my medal and it was my first experience of a sportive. Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed it. I wouldn't say I followed that passion as such. I've always been into sport. You mentioned my snowboarding career and growing up, I did gymnastics, basketball, lacrosse, you name it. I gave it a go. But running became more of an accessory throughout my snowboarding career as an athlete. So you travel around the world for 8-9 months at a time and you're hopping time zones. And I found more often than not, I'd land in a country that I didn't know. I'd go up to the mountain, I'd snowboard and I'd fly back. But I found running as headspace, escapism, and also a way to explore the local area. You know, you fly into China or Korea or Russia even to snowboard, and you don't see any of the country. So for me, it was like an express sort of tourist run. And I think it's a really great way to get acquainted with your environment. So it sort of started there, and then it became almost like a form of recovery, like a light shakeout after a flight. And that kind of built and built and built. And it wasn't until I sort of started noticing my times in my 5K, and I was like, wow, oh, I'm actually getting quicker. Without it never was a priority. And it got to a point where and when I could, I'd incorporate a 5K into my dry land training to sort of accessory my weight training. However, I don't think the physio was best chuffed with that, because I was renowned for having plantar fasciitis. So the impact in snowboarding is rather large. You're jumping the sort of length and height of a double-decker bus. So I constantly had small problems with my feet, and the running definitely, elevated, added to that.
Imagine.
But
yeah.
I just loved it. I fell in love with the runner's high.
Oh, quality.
I remember watching, because my previous job of mine was very much involved in that sort of snowboard world, and I remember very like the change in training tactics that was coming through in terms of like snowboarding was like, you ride your snowboard and that's your training done for the day. And then more and more like places like Larks had like training facilities, and like trampolines would come in and free running and like all this sort of stuff. And I remember that was like, you very much were like one of those people who loved doing all those different like elements of training.
No, I've always loved training. I think for the feeling of self-accomplishment, the high afterwards. But it was really interesting throughout my snowboarding career. From a fairly young age, I was introduced to the gym, strength and conditioning. And I always liked the gym, whereas now I kind of tend to avoid the gym more, because I've done so much of it. Like, don't get me wrong, I love throwing around a weight, but not so specifically targeted. I think that's where I've really fallen in love with my running, because there's no time, there's no set distance, there's no set speed you have to hit. It's all a choice. And for me, when I go out on a run, for example, this Sunday, I had a few hours where I could just run with no time pressure. And I'd said to myself, if you go and do 5K, that's great. If you do 10K, that's even better, but it doesn't matter. You remove the pressure. Before I knew it, I was like into a podcast. I was listening to music. It was sunny. My body felt good. And I was purely listening to my instinct. And I ended up doing 8 miles, and I was like just chuffed with myself. Like, it gives me a real sense of like, yeah, it's the high. It's a real high. And I think it's the fact there is no pressure now.
Yeah.
So it's just pure enjoyment.
It's really interesting to hear like that sort of almost that complete flip on like, you're a competitive person, obviously, like you can't get to the Olympics without having like a sense of wanting to do something really as well as you possibly can. But to have running, and lots of people treat running as their main, like that's their thing. They want to chase and chase everything as hard as they possibly can. I guess you've done that enough.
Yeah.
So to have running as just that staple where you can just be like, ah, that's my time. I'm going to go and see what happens and I'm done.
It's really nice, because I have done some really rogue sportifs and events since I retired from snowboarding. So my last competition was the Olympics in 2018. And I sort of subtly knew, I was like, yeah, that's it. I'm done. I was really happy to walk away. And I feel really grateful to have sort of had the power in deciding that myself, injury free or relatively so. And I remember standing on the London Marathon finish line in April 2018. And I was like, I want to do this next year. And I called my mum and I was like, would you be up for it? Shall we do it? So we signed up together to the London Marathon. And that for me, you know, running with my mum, it really removes all sense of pressure. I just wanted to be able to turn up on the day and be fit enough to help guide her through that process of us doing our first marathon together. And that's a really nice place to be.
Yeah.
I'm not out there trying to smash records. I'm purely doing it for almost the social element, but yet you get such a high and the health benefits other than the screwed knees and dodgy feet.
I love that you do it with your mum. I think that's like, first of all, like fair play to your mum. Amazing that she's like up for doing those things. It's a great test of like the mother-daughter dynamic over a marathon as well. Yeah. And you've done lots of these races together, right?
Yeah, so our first one was the London Landmarks in 2019.
Hmm.
And we really, really enjoyed that. Without a doubt, I think that has to be one of my favourite races, especially in the capital. We then went on to do the London Marathon. I think it was a month after that.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, though, a little segue, we can jump back into it. I ended up doing an extra marathon, which was actually my first one in North Korea.
Oh, yeah, I want to ask you about this.
Yeah, so we'll jump back to London. So I'm doing London in April.
Mm.
And for me, being able to approach something where competitively it doesn't matter how or what I do, it's just so nice. And it's always been a bucket list thing. And throughout my snowboarding, I could never have gone and run a marathon. The fast twitch fibers that are required for snowboarding, like a marathon just wouldn't be conducive to that sort of training.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm not a very good snowboarder for that reason, Ben. It's
too much. That's it.
It's too much marathon running.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We need to know about
North Korea.
Yeah. Is it the Pyongyang?
Pyongyang.
Pyongyang Marathon. Yeah. It's always mysterious. Tell us about what on earth is it like running in North Korea?
So this has to be one of the most surreal situations I think I've ever ended up in my life, and probably one of the best experiences I've ever had working with a team in an environment. So my snowboarding career, you know, you're kind of like solo on the mountain. I went out for a run training for London, and I literally put on my Instagram story, training for the London Marathon, just got lost in Richmond Park, soaking wet, freezing cold. And somebody from Sky, who had interviewed me at my first Olympics, texted me and said, "Hi, I see you're training for London. You don't want to run another marathon, do you?" And I was like, "Absolutely not." Especially after that run in Richmond Park.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Hear me out. It's for a documentary in North Korea." So I was like, "Tell me more." She called me literally 4 weeks later. I was on a flight to Beijing, having had to leave all of my valuable possessions in a safe locker in China to then take a flight to Pyongyang. And I can honestly say, without a doubt, that is one of the most rogue scenarios I've ever been in.
Yeah.
You see it on the documentaries and you hear people talk about it, but it is really, really strange. Mm. So I requested to leave the hotel because you can't just walk out of the hotel to go for a run. And they were like, well, no, like people don't run on the streets there. And they organized it. So our sort of minder, North Korean chap, drove and followed me in the van, but I wasn't allowed to not be escorted. So I went on an escorted taper run and was literally followed. And then the actual marathon itself, bearing in mind I've never run a marathon, like I'm a marathon virgin at this point. So I turn up in my boat shoes, I like to call them. I got them all properly fitted in Pro Feet, had the liners, had these rocking yellow trainers. And I'm looking around me, there's all these North Koreans and they're all like real sly and, you know, they look like marathon runners and I'm there still sort of quite strong and athletic looking from my snowboarding career. Yeah. They're running in plimsolls. You know, like when you're a kid, you go to Woolworths back in the day and you had the plimsolls.
Yeah.
Like they had those. And I didn't mean to like revel in misfortune. It was more like, if they can do this in plimsolls, I can definitely run in my boat trainers. So we start out and I had no gels. I thought there would be snacks along the way. So we left the Olympic Stadium there and it was literally an out and back marathon. There were no snacks, nothing. And luckily I befriended an Irish man, Kieran, who sorted me out with some gels, shared a banana. And I can honestly say, out and back marathons are not the one. We literally just went out into the fields and went around a cone and ran back. I don't recommend it.
I think that's hard because you know how far you've got to go back as well. It's demoralizing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at the start, I was like, oh, this is cool. It's simple. And then it was like, oh, okay, it's 17 miles. My knees feel like they're going to come out of their sockets and my hip joints are in excruciating pain. And I'm like, I've still just got to go straight.
A first marathon. That's amazing. It
is, isn't it? Most people have, you know, that dream scenario of the crowds cheering them on and none of that.
Not really. I mean, they did, of course, the North Koreans, you know, put on a show. There were thousands of people at the start in the Olympic Stadium clapping in sync. But the minute you were actually set out free on the streets, there was like nobody because they were all in the stadium.
Got it.
So it was very, very lonely out there on those North Korean roads.
Have you seen any other races then that you've kind of like, has that sort of lit a fire in you for doing quite obscure races? I mean, have you kind of like, would you then want to go off and like explore random countries that have got like races on?
I think I'm more intrigued to go and do, you know, the big majors.
Right. Yeah.
So this year we're in 2024. Last year I did the New York City Marathon with my mum, and it was actually a present for her. I don't know if she's thanking me for it now, but we kind of toyed with the idea of doing another one together. And my mum said, well, it'd be cool to do it somewhere different. So for her birthday, I just booked flights to New York and said, look, the options here, it's on the table. If you want to do it, we'll do it. If not, we'll just go Christmas shopping. So we did that one together. And again, it's that, I think the mindset for a marathon is so unique. You go through the training process. Sometimes you enjoy it. Sometimes you get injured. Both me and my mum got injured. I had a bad hamstring. I got tendonitis in my right foot off the back of doing the Ealing Half, which was actually a PB with a friend, which was really unique. So I've not really done loads of running for myself. So I went into New York hurt, which made the whole experience a little tougher. And my mum also ended up with some sort of tendonitis in the sesamoid joint. So we were falling to bits. So the triumph in that was the fact that we were able to run it 2 days before. My mum still had a tape foot and was in pain walking. So the real triumph and runner's high was a sense of completion. And we kind of said, why are we doing this to ourselves? But now, you know, 3-4 months later, thinking, oh yeah, where could we go? Maybe we could go and do one in Malaga, somewhere warm. You know, I don't know. There's an addiction there for sure.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your book, Amy, because it's Fear Less, Live More, right? And I feel like someone who's being a competitive snowboarder, like you must have to keep fear. You must have an amazing relationship with that in terms of like, I'm sure you get nervous at the start line. If anyone else is kind of worried about running or has some of their own running fears, have you got any advice for like how you kind of put a lid on that stuff or kind of use it to your advantage?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So snowboarding for me was the extreme scale of fear. Mm. I tested my limits. I put my body in positions where I wasn't comfortable. And I actually can put my hand up and say that I was scared and I stopped snowboarding because fear consumed me. Mm. And I don't think many extreme sports athletes vocalize that, but it is scary. You are putting your body on the line. And unfortunately, injury does happen. Mm. It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Mm.
And it's managing that to make yourself as bulletproof as possible so you can deal with impact. And I reached a point where I was done with dealing with that. And that's why I walked away. And I walk away very proudly of that, actually, because I had another passion and another interest, and that is my broadcast. But throughout that process, I learned so much about fear and the high end of it. And I kind of use it, the scale. It's almost like the Nando scale, the Spy scale. And I was sick of operating at Spicy.
Yeah.
But I could operate, you know, sort of medium, casually, still probably now even on my snowboard and really enjoy it. So when I go to approach moments in running or even making the decision to go for a run, I set myself up in the best possible way. So there's little hacks and tools in my book that I've used for not only my wellness routine, but extreme scale examples like public speaking or doing your motorbike license or your car test for the first time. And I use those as examples. The amazing thing about running is you can always do it again. You can always go on another run. And I really frame it as being able to run is a privilege. So when I'm running, that is what I think.
Mm.
Being given a body, an able body, to be able to go out, to have free movement, to have mental thinking space is such a gift. So I think of that. But then I instill lots of little incremental things along the way. So, for example, it's winter right now. It's freezing cold. It's not the best time to go out, especially when it's -2 like today. So I put, you know, my trainers on the radiator. I've got 3 layers. I've got a gilet. I've got hats. I've got gloves. And I put myself in the best possible position to not have an excuse. And then it's working with that scale of don't overpressurize yourself. You know, 2 miles is better than no miles. Mm. And that's the way I approach it. And when I was in North Korea doing my first ever marathon, I remember thinking at mile 17, wow, this is a different type of pain. This really hurts. Mm. I have not felt this feeling in my knees before. But that pain is not going to stop me from being able. Mm. And that was my motivation. Mm. Snowboarding is a sport where one thing my dad said to me, and it really scared me, was, Ames, I don't want to see you crash like that again. Mm. I don't want to push you in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. Running can't do that to you.
Mm.
It's all about a scale of fear.
Yeah.
Running's your own scale. Set it for yourself and find enjoyment in it. Even in those moments of pain, the enjoyment is the triumph at the end of it.
Yeah. I think we've talked a little bit about you running with your mum and the fact that she was took you to that first ever race. Do you do all your running with your mum? It's like, is she your main running partner?
So I went to school in Northern Ireland, and my family is still over there. I'm here in London. So I don't get to run with my mum as much as I would like. But I ended up staying home for New Year's this year because my gut was telling me, just chill, have a night in. I literally didn't get on the flight. It was an hour before. And I woke up the next day and had a run with my mum along the beach, County Down coast. There's nothing better. For me to be able to share those moments with my mum is really special. So we don't get to run together casually so often because I'm not home much with the nature of my job and my lifestyle. However, we put in little moments in the diary. So for example, in April, we are without a doubt going to be at the start line of the London Landmarks Half, because that's one of our favourite ones. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look to do something later in the year, whether it's the Royal Parks Half. That's another favourite of mine.
Yeah.
I've never even done Hackney Half. There's so many.
Yeah, there's a load of good ones, aren't there? Yeah.
Unearth, yeah. Or maybe maybe it's a hot half somewhere. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So we use it as also an excuse for my mum to come over, stay with me for a few days, eat some good food.
Yeah.
Go and get in amongst it, explore a new running route and do something awesome for our bodies. It's a great way of socialising.
Yeah. Running in Northern Ireland must be pretty great.
Oh, I think for me, when the weather's good, there's nowhere better. Like that County Down coastal path.
I've never done that.
It's like tropical. It in the summer, it's beautiful. And you can stop off, jump in at Brompton Bay, have a little dip.
Oh,
It's a dream. I really recommend it to any avid runners.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, there's a few big races up there actually. Giants Causeway marathons up there.
Oh yeah, I think I'll leave that to you. I reckon it'll be windy up there.
So apart from Northern Ireland and maybe a few London races, do you have a favourite place to run?
Okay, controversial.
It's North Korea.
Absolutely not. So there's two places.
Yeah.
So the first, without doubt, has to be the County Down Coastal Path.
Mm.
It's literally just down the road from our house in Northern Ireland. And for me, it's just, it looks tropical. It's weird. I feel like Northern Ireland is like the UK's best unknown holiday destination.
Right.
Bizarrely, like the beaches are untouched. There's never anyone on them.
Yeah.
And when it's sunny, obviously, that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's just lush. And then to be able to jump in at the end of your run, it's tops for me.
Yeah.
And the fact I can run with my mum there. Another one, I have to say. So we used to snowboard in Australia in the summer. So often we'd cruise down to Sydney. One of my best friends lived in Bondi. And because of the jet lag, I was fully on the Aussie vibes. I'd wake up at like 5 a.m. and it's the Bondi to Bronte Coogee run.
Oh, okay.
And I'd always do that before I'd hop on the flight back to the UK. And it's like a 10K. And it is just beautiful. It's breathtaking.
Mm.
And again, it's not too busy. It's really, really spectacular. And it's a privilege to run there.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a good choice, aren't they? Australia and Northern Ireland, you've covered a lot of distance.
Quite extreme, opposites.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for your time and coming on the Runners World podcast. Great to hear about your running, and best of luck with all the races with your mum this year.
Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.